Dear Heavenly Father, that is our desire, Lord, for your kingdom to come here into this place. Lord, we invite you, King Jesus, to come into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, as we look at your word, as we examine our hearts and our lives, and Lord, just deal with a subject that's hard to deal with, the pain and the heartache that we experience in this life. Lord, we just ask even now that your kingdom would come, that you would come, dear Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Minister to each person here today. Lord, the pain that often creates barriers between walking in intimacy with you, Lord, we just ask even now, Lord, just that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak peace into our lives and minister healing, the healing that Christ secured for us on the cross. Lord, that we would know healing and be able to walk, Lord, with you, knowing that you desire to lead us, to comfort us, to give us a hope and a future. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you want to turn in the scripture, we're going to be looking at a number of passages, but we will be first looking at Psalm 13. So if you want to be following along. And the children, I always get the cue when the kids start filling the aisle. I know I forgot something. Children can be dismissed for children's church. We're going to be continuing our series today and working through the different barriers that often keep us from walking in intimacy with God. And today is a difficult subject because it's dealing with those very personal issues in our life, the pain and the grief and the things that we often carry with us. Some of you may be walking through that right now in light of what this week was like as our community. I know many people are walking through a difficult time and experiencing pain and suffering right now. And so I think this message is important, not only because it's a message of hope, but how we handle the pain, the suffering in our life, and how we respond to that can impact and shape us in a way that can not only change the course of our life, but it can also impact how we relate to God. I want to share in my experience having kids. I remember my parents used to tell me when I was a kid that it's always worse when your kids are sick. When you're sick, you can handle that, but when your kids are sick, I hate to see my children sick. My parents used to tell me that all the time. I thought, yeah, right. And then you get kids, and anytime your kids have pain, it's hard. It's hard as a parent to look at your kids going through a painful situation, or getting sick, or my kids were younger, splinters, bee stings, go through the list of things that created pain in my kids' life, and sometimes they didn't really welcome my help. And I can think of more than one occasion with both of my kids where there were times where they maybe had a splinter, and I knew that it wasn't going to come out on its own without festering out, and it would have been painful, so I'm trying to get that out, and they didn't want anything to do with it. Anyone go through this with their kids? To where there's a lot of screaming. By the point that you as a parent start screaming with them, you know that it's getting a little difficult. But, you have those moments where you know, as a parent, you know what the problem is and you want to help. Or if it's something that sometimes our kids go through things we can't fix. And as a parent, we just want to step in and walk with them and comfort them and help them through that time, that difficult time. But in that picture of the splinter, though, it's something that could easily be fixed. It's going to hurt a little bit, but it'll be better if our kids would just trust us. I think that's often how we are in our lives. And I want to say this very clearly. This is one of those, anytime we deal with pain and suffering, I realize that we could probably do 6 or 7 weeks in talking about all the theological issues here. Today, I really want to focus on how we personally respond to pain. But I want to tell you something that I very firmly believe. That there is pain and suffering in this world that we cannot avoid. That we live in a fallen world. And it's for that fallen world that we live in that Christ died. And he is set in motion, making all things new and making things right. But on this side of eternity, until we see Christ, we are going to experience pain. We're going to experience suffering. I don't believe that all the pain that we experience is something that God is setting up there for us to say, this is what you're going to experience today. Sometimes it's just living in a fallen world. We go through difficult times. We experience pain. We experience heartache. So I always feel like I have to put that out there to say we have a Savior who has started putting the ball into motion and dying on the cross and providing for not only forgiveness of sin, but for healing. But until we see him face to face, until we reach heaven's shores, we're not going to know what it's like to have no more death, no more tears, no more pain. But, you know, two questions I want us to think about today. We can go a couple slides forward. I think I skipped over. When we're talking about heart wounds, I try to give an explanation. I realize sometimes I know what something means, like I use a phrase, and it's good that I take a moment and explain what I mean by this. But when we talk about heart wounds, the definition I put on the screen is that the pain or grief that we experience has the potential to shape us and impact our intimacy with God. After I wrote that, I realized, too, that I absolutely believe that pain and deep pain in our life will always shape us. It'll shape us in one way or the other, and the question is, do we invite God into that shaping process and how we handle that pain and respond to that? But this is where we're going today, is when we talk about the idea of intimacy with God. Sometimes we experience pain and suffering. Sometimes it might be present, something that you're currently going through. And how you respond to that will shape you, has the potential of shaping you, but can also, depending on how you respond, have an impact on your relationship with God and the intimacy that you feel with him. So that's really our focus today. And two questions I want each of us to answer, not out loud, but just in your own heart. There's going to be a time during communion today that hopefully you'll respond between you and the Lord on these issues. But two questions is, how do we deal with the pain and hurts when they come? I mean, when you're in the midst of it, when you're going through a difficult time and you just feel like there's no hope, you're maybe wondering where God is even in the situation, and you're hurting. In those moments, how do you respond? How do we deal with those type of pain and hurts when they come? That's one of the questions we're going to deal with today. And the second question is, how do we deal with the wounds from past pain and hurts? Sometimes we have a past incident in our life and pain or suffering, something that maybe we caused or something that was just part of this fallen world, death, loss, something that we experience, that has impacted us at a heart level and has hurt us deeply. And it shapes us. And often if we don't deal with those things in our life, if we have dealt with them in a way that is pushing God aside or maybe keeping him at a distance, kind of like the kid that's saying, no, don't touch the splinter. If we haven't dealt with those in a healthy way, sometimes those past wounds and past hurts can be impacting us even today. And so we're just going to be dealing with those two questions today. And I just want to encourage you, I absolutely believe, no matter what I put on the screen, no matter what I say, the most important thing that happens in this message today is for God's Spirit to speak to you. That if you're here today and you're facing a difficult time, or you've experienced a pain or a grief in your life that has shaped you and impacted you deeply, my words won't mean anything unless God's Spirit speaks through me to you, or God speaks directly to your heart. And I just encourage you today just to open up your ears like we sang this morning. Open up the eyes of your heart. Open up your ears and your mind to hear God in his voice today. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 13. I can probably safely say that this is probably not none of you probably have this psalm as one of your favorite scripture verses. Because we typically don't like to focus on the laments, the lamentations, and sometimes you maybe read a passage like this and say, why is this even in here? Today, I hope if you have never thought of this before, hopefully you have a greater sense today of why it's such a blessing that prayers like Psalm 13 are in the Scripture. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 13. Actually, I want to say one more word before we look at it. This is a lament, which is basically an expression of grief or sorrow, and they're all throughout the Psalms and the Book of Lamentations. And it's basically just very honest prayers to God, basically saying, God, where are you? I'm hurting. Aren't you going to do something about it? And it goes on and on, and you just think, man, I can't believe someone's saying this to God. But it always ends with a statement of trust. So there's a complaint, there's an expression of pain, there's a request of God, and it ends with that statement of trust. And that's what we're going to read in Psalm 13. It's one of those laments. But before we read this, just to keep this in the back of your mind, these are David's words. This is a prayer by David. And I want you to think of some other things that we've already looked at and some other passages that we're familiar with, that, to understand that the words that we're about to read about the lament are written by the same man who wrote, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Or Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David is known for those expressions of confidence in God, expressions of hunger and thirst for more of God, and deep, intimate passion and relationship with him. And here in these words, David's really getting something off his chest to God. Look at Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Did you catch the transition there? I mean, it starts out with that just direct question, and this is a heart question. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Where are you, God? And it's basically David saying, look, God, I'm dying here. I can't take this. Where are you? When are you going to come through for me? And then he goes on into a request and then that declaration of trust in verse 5. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." You know, the scripture, again, is full of these laments, and they follow a similar pattern with that. A complaint, an expression of pain and sorrow, followed by a request of God and then a statement of trust. Sometimes it's 10 verses of complaining and one verse of trust, but it's usually there and fits that pattern. And I take great comfort in that fact that David is willing to pray an honest prayer. I am very grateful for that type of honesty, and I think that's the type of honesty that we need within our churches. I think often we sometimes don't think that we can be honest with God because we're not honest with each other. And that doesn't mean that you have to go up to a perfect stranger and say, hey, this is what's going wrong with my life. But you need to have someone in your life within the Christian community. That's what our small groups and our Sunday school classes are about. We want you to be connected with a few other folks where you can be honest about what you're going through and talk about those pains and those heartaches. But I think when we start being more honest with each other, we start being more honest with God and express to him really what's going on in our life. You know, I've talked to people in my life I've run into people at times where they're afraid to say anything negative, like that if they question God or they say much of what David just said, that God's just going to write them off or that they just can't do that. I want you to know God is big enough to handle your questions. God is big enough to handle your complaint. And God's love and his care and concern for you won't change for that. You know, just like, again, my children, if they're going through pain and heartache, I'd much rather have them come and talk to me about it or at least invite me into that pain and to be able to work with them than for them to keep me at arm's length and say everything's okay. I'll be okay. Let's look at this in order. Starts with the complaint. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You know, I think every one of us have asked this question in one way or the other, of how long? How much longer do I have to deal with this? How much longer do I have to be persecuted in school? How much longer do I have to be persecuted at work? How much longer do I have to experience this physical issue that I'm struggling with? Whatever it might be, we sometimes are in experiencing that pain and we say, God, where are you? Where are you and how long do I have to deal with this? sometimes we move into this idea of, oh, God, you just either don't understand or you don't care. And if we embrace those truths, it can lead us to an unhealthy way of being shaped by these events. But I encourage you today to be honest about that. Between you and your conversation with God, be honest about those type of things. If that's how you feel, tell God that's how you feel. Express it to him because he's big enough. He can handle it. Our questions and our expressing our frustration or pain when we're going through frustration and pain don't minimize the glory of God and his greatness. It doesn't make him any smaller. It just reminds us that he's big enough to handle it. And we go to him knowing that we can trust him. You know, I believe that God wants us to be honest. He wants us to be honest about what's really going on in our heart, because when we start with that type of honesty, then we give God the opportunity to step in and minister to us. But in the end, we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to trust. And look at the next slide in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." David's basically saying, look, I know this is rough. I don't know where you are, God. I don't understand what you're doing. But, you know, I've trusted your steadfast love. And that's a word that we've talked about before. Steadfast love is God's faithfulness, his loving kindness. And the old King James would translate that. It's his mercy, his consistent care and compassion for us. And David's basically saying, look, I've trusted you before. I've trusted your chesed, your steadfast love before, and I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to sing to you, Lord, and I'm going to trust you because you have dealt bountifully with me. You've blessed me in the past. I know you can bless me again. When our kids come to us with that pain, or we are aware that they have that pain in their life, and again, that splinter image just keeps coming to my mind. And I think I dealt with both of my kids through this at times, where you're pleading with them to say, let me help you. I remember telling at least, I can't remember which of the kids it was, but I remember telling at least one of my kids once, I looked them in the eye and their tears, I think we both were crying at that point because I was at wit's end, and just said, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It will get better. It'll hurt for a moment, but it'll get better. You know, I think often God is looking at us in that same way and saying, look, I know this hurts. I know this is difficult, but do you trust me to lead you through this, to comfort you, and to know that it'll get better? You know, when we experience pain and suffering, as I reflected on this, I thought of four different ways that we often respond to pain and suffering in our life. And that's on the next screen. There are four things that we can do here, and three of them aren't really healthy, and yet we often, probably each one of us, does one of these at different times in our life. And some of you probably are more prone to do one of these consistently when you experience pain. But sometimes when you experience that pain in your life, that heartache, your response is to try to push God away. Like the parent who says, don't touch, or the kid who tells the parent, don't touch my splinter. Don't touch me. I'm going to scream, I'm going to moan, but don't touch me. You know, it's a small move from being at a point of saying, God, where are you, to saying, God, just stay away. And you're experiencing that pain, and you, in a sense, create a barrier saying, you know, I'm just not going there, and I'm just stay away from me on this issue. Sometimes people nurse the pain. They focus so much on the pain and so much on the agony that it becomes their sole focus and begins to define them. And again, remember what I said. Pain and difficulty, the scripture is clear, it will shape us. Our trials and the tribulations, the things that we do, God has designed that to shape us, and it will shape us. But sometimes we can be so focused on the pain, so focused on the hurt, that we're not really looking for healing. We just want to focus on that and nurse it and dwell on it. Sometimes people try to hide their pain. I have someone in my mind that I love dearly, that anytime you asked him, he's with Jesus now, but I remember anytime I would ask him, or anyone would ask him, it was a joke among those that cared for him, that anytime you'd ask him, he had some health issues, but you'd ask him, how are you doing? I'm excellent. It was always his response. I'm excellent. And I knew better. I knew he was hurting. I knew he hardly had no energy, had a heart issue. And that heart issue, I believe, is what eventually led to his death. But all these years, he would not complain, and that's noble. I mean, keeping a positive outlook, but not being honest about what's going on in your heart and in your life is not healthy. We need to be honest. It doesn't mean you have to go around telling perfect strangers. Well, and when they ask, I remember the commercial a few years ago, the guy says, someone asks him at the bar, says, how are you doing? And he starts launching into this long, lengthy explanation. That's not what I'm saying. You don't go to perfect strangers, but you need to have someone in your life that when they ask you, how are you, that you're honest. That you can be honest about what you're going through and the pain, and let them step in to your life in that area. So we can push God away, we can nurse our pain, focus solely on the pain, we can try to hide our pain, or we can invite God into our pain and choose to trust him. Now that phrase may not make sense to some of you, that idea of how do you invite God into your pain? And let me explain what I mean by that. That means in your prayer time, that it's not just you doing all the talking. That you're taking time to have that honest prayer like we just read in Psalm 13. Tell God how you really feel. But then have a time of stillness and silence before God and let his Holy Spirit speak to you. Be honest about your pain, but then be in God's presence. Be still. Know that he is God. And let him speak. If you've not tried it, I encourage you to try it. We're going to actually, during communion today, have the opportunity to do that. And I encourage you to go there with your pain. Don't ignore the pain. Don't try to minimize the pain. Be honest about your pain. And then invite Christ to speak into your pain and to minister to you in that time of stillness and quiet. There's a book that had a huge impact on me a number of years ago. This was before John Eldridge became very well known. It was actually, I think it was his first book. He co-wrote it with his friend Brent Curtis. The book was called The Sacred Romance. And in the book, he talks about the significance of beauty and pain in our lives and how God uses those things. And he refers to the pain as the arrows that often come at us. And I want you to read, as I read this, I just want you to hear this, because this is an example of what happens when we don't let God use those arrows and deal with them in a healthy way. It says, instead of dealing with the arrows, we silence the longing that seems to be our only hope. And so we lose heart. How many losses can a heart take? If we deny the wounds or try to minimize them, we deny a part of our heart and end up living with a shallow optimism that frequently becomes a demand that the world be a better than it is. On the other hand, if we embrace the arrows as the final word on life, we despair, which is another way to lose heart. To lose hope has the same effect on our heart as it would be to stop breathing. If only there were someone to help us reconcile our deepest longings with our greatest fears. You know, this lamentation reminds us, and the lamentations throughout Scripture remind us of the importance of being honest about how those arrows are affecting us, how those pains and the heartaches are affecting us or have affected us. And I want to end today just by focusing on some clear truths in Scripture that help us to make that step to trust, to choose to trust God in the midst of our pain. And often we see this in David's Psalms again, and that first truth is that God is near. You know, that's one of the biggest questions in the lament. It's not only how long, Lord, how long am I going to have to deal with this, but where are you? I mean, if I ask, how many of you have had that time in your life that you maybe didn't verbalize it, but you thought, God, where are you? We're just wondering, where is he? Where is he? Is he going to show up? The Scripture is clear that God is near, and that we can choose to trust that he would be near and invite him to draw near to us. Psalm 23, probably the most loved psalm that is often read at funerals, often read during times of crisis and heartache, has an incredible statement about God drawing near to comfort us. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God desires to lead us, to comfort us, and that image in Psalm 23 of the shepherd leading his sheep, to be present in the midst of the pain, even while we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't need to fear evil because God is with us. And he's there to comfort us. Psalm 34:18 tells us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. If you're here today and you feel brokenhearted, or there's been pain in your life, a season in your life where you know you were brokenhearted and that pain is still having an impact on you today, I encourage you today to know that God is near and he wants to draw near, to walk with you and to lead you and to comfort you. Another truth in Scripture that we see that relates to this choice of trusting God in our pain is to know that God understands. You know, I think often we won't verbalize this, but we have this idea that God just doesn't understand what I'm going through. Now, he is the Creator. He's the one who gave you the gift of life. But he is also someone who is not immune to suffering and pain. Isaiah 53, Jesus, this is incredible Old Testament prophecy about Jesus and his ministry on the cross. Jesus is described as a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:2 says, "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." If you drop down to verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that was before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And when we think no one understands or that God doesn't understand, I think it's important that we take that for a moment and take that to the cross and get a picture of what Jesus did for us and understand that Jesus does understand suffering. Jesus does understand pain and sorrow, and that's why he died. So that he could not only come in and walk alongside of us, but so that he could begin the work of making it better and giving us a hope and giving us healing. You know, I have to tell you, I've been very fortunate in my life. I've had difficult pains. I've had grief. I've experienced some challenges in my life, but I know many of you have experienced some things that I can't even fathom. And what I can say to you and what I say to anyone who's walking through pain is that I can't truly understand your pain, but that he understands. I can't understand your pain, but my Savior can. I want to ask you today, are you believing a lie that Christ can't understand suffering, can't understand what you're going through? Are you choosing to trust him and understand that he's not only near, but he understands and he comes to give us compassion? You know, Isaiah 53 also gives us another word of hope, that God comes to offer us healing. Verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 53. Again, this is, if you're not familiar with this passage, it always just blows my mind away when I read this and realize this is Old Testament, written many years before Jesus walked on this earth, describing what he did for us. Verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." You know, in the Alliance, we believe that not only did Christ and what he did on the cross have an impact in offering us forgiveness and peace in the sense of being reconciled to a relationship with God because Christ took our sin upon himself so that we might be healed spiritually, we also believe that these verses are very literal and that Christ also comes offering us healing. physical healing, healing from emotional brokenness and emotional pain. And I don't see any way around that, because I believe that if you read through Genesis and we understand that sin brought pain and suffering into the world, Christ came to take it away. And he offers us healing. And some of you may say, you know, I've trusted God for healing physically, but maybe there's been emotional pain in your life that you've shut down, and you said, you know, I just can't trust that God wants to heal this. I want to tell you, and I want to make this very clear. Some of you have experienced deep grief and deep pain. There's this notion, and I know some of you I've talked to about this, that have experienced deep loss. The notion that you'll get over grief, that you get over loss, is nonsense. And those of you that have experienced the loss of a loved one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not something you get over. It becomes a part of you. It shapes you. But God can work in your heart, give you the grace that you need to sustain you, to minister comfort and healing to you. God desires to offer healing. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never trusted God for that pain in your life, and some of you have something very clearly in your mind and on your heart right now that you know has had a deep impact on you, that has shaped you in a way that you don't like, and hasn't had an impact on you in your walk with God and feeling his closeness and his intimacy, I want to encourage you today to trust God to heal, to give that brokenness, to give that pain, to give that heartache to him. And know that that may be something instantaneous, but for most of us, it's an ongoing process of healing that God does in our hearts and our lives as we walk with him. The last truth is that God offers us hope. When you think about Christ coming to offer us healing, we understand that, well, not everyone gets healed. And I don't believe that you can talk about Christ and his offer of healing without looking at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, give us a picture of the future that's to come. And as a child of God, we have the freedom and we have the privilege of going to God and asking for prayer for healing. And we can trust God for healing. But we also realize that not everyone's going to be healed in the way that we expect on this side of eternity. But what Christ did on the cross secured what's going to happen and what we read in Revelation 21. I'm going to pick up in verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." You know, I, both in my pastoral work as well as when I've served as a chaplain with the fire department, there were times I walked into crisis situations where I had no words. And honestly, there were some situations I walked into that I prayed hard as I drove to the scene, having a rough sketch of what had happened and saying, "God, I don't know what, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there." You know, the only thing that's been able to sustain me through those difficult crisis interventions is knowing that there is a hope that it's going to get better. And all I can do in those moments is to trust that while I'm trusting that future hope, that rubs off on the person that I'm present with and just there to minister to. Today, I want to ask you, are you making the choice to hope? Are you making the choice to not only put your trust in Christ to lead you through that difficult time, lead you through that pain, to reach out to him for healing, but are you also holding out your hand and trusting him and holding on to the hope that he gives us that it's going to get better? You know, I looked a moment ago, we looked at some choices that we can make, and this is how we're going to end today. As you think about a present pain experience you have, or as you think back to something that has had a huge impact on your life, a pain or suffering that you experienced, I want to ask you, what will you choose? Will you choose to push him away? Will you choose to nurse your pain, to focus just on the pain with no desire to find healing? Or will you try to hide your pain, pretend everything is okay? Or will you invite him into your pain, being honest about what you're going through, and invite him into your pain and choose to trust him? And trust him to lead, to comfort, and to heal. Today during our communion time, it's normally when we pass the bread and pass the cup, we have a time of reflection, and that's how we celebrate communion. This is a celebration of what Christ has done for us. And with the words from Isaiah 53 in our minds today, that by his stripes we are healed, I encourage you today as we take the bread and as we take the cup to not just reflect upon what Christ did on the cross and in his resurrection for us, but I want you to go there with your pain for a moment. I want you to think about that difficult pain or heartache, present or past, and I want you to invite God into it. And we're going to do that just by creating a time of honesty, a time of stillness and silence, and ask God to speak. And ask God to show, some of you, I think some of the situations you faced, you may need to even ask God to show where he was in the midst of that pain. But I just want us to focus during this time, just on a time of quietness and silence, or stillness and silence. Invite Christ into your pain and let him speak. Invite him, you personally, invite him to speak to you. Let us pray. Ask the elders to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask even today as we prepare to transition into communion and celebrating, dear Jesus, what you did on the cross for each one of us. Lord, I pray that today that we would not only be reminded of how important it is to trust you for salvation, for the forgiveness of sin, but to, Lord, also trust you for healing within our hearts as well within our body. Lord, I just pray that today that as we come before you in quietness, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each person here. And Lord, as we reflect upon those painful situations in our life or those past wounds, Lord, we just ask even now, I ask boldly, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each person here today. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister peace, much like a friend would put his arm around one who is hurting. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would minister to that person even in this moment and begin a healing process within their heart, within their life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.